There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
It's education now this afternoon.
Drive Live talks education.
We have two guests. Let's welcome Ben Bailey, who has just arrived in the UAE, only been here a week. He's the Director of Campus Operations at the University of Birmingham here in Dubai. Ben, good to meet you.
Good to meet you. Thank you for having me.
And also Lord Willetts is here, former Conservative Minister and Higher Education and Universities Minister from the United Kingdom. He's just published a book, A University Education. Is in the UAE for a couple of days, and we've grabbed a little bit of his time. David, if I may call you that, nice to meet you.
Great to be here, Tim.
Good to have you here. So we're going to talk the importance of pursuing higher education. We'll get into that in a moment. Also, how universities have evolved in relatively recent times over the last few decades. But I do have to ask, first of all, your book is A University Education. It's a compelling case for the ongoing importance and relevance of the university. We're going to come and discuss that in a second, both as one of the great institutions of modern society and as a transformational educational experience for the individual, which you brought up just a moment ago, Claire. So that's why you're here. What's the reaction been to the book here in the Emirates?
Well, I'm here because, of course, Dubai, the Emirates, is a great centre for higher education. It's got a lot of different universities here. It's a really important hub for higher education. I've just been at Jumeirah College talking about it, with lots of the students asking about the possibility of going to study in Britain. Some of them asking if it's worth going to university, and I say it's certainly worth going to university, and it's great to go and study in Britain if you can. And I'm also here because, you know, the book is published by Oxford University Press, which is part of the University of Oxford, and the University of Oxford is very keen to have stronger links with the Gulf, both through research and by attracting students, and indeed through its exams, the Oxford AQA exams. So there's a real British Gulf story here of educational collaboration.
So if we can get your answer to this first, David, before we go to Ben, your whole book is about why young adults, I guess, now should still consider university, even when there are probably more options than there have ever been to do something else. Why? State the case, if you could, in a nutshell. It's a big book. So, you know, the brief version.
Well, I think, first of all, for many young people, it transforms their lives. It broadens their horizons. It's probably the first time they've left home. It's a kind of supervised route into adulthood. They meet a wider mix of people than ever before. And of course, if you look at the narrow economics of it, by and large, graduates earn more than non-graduates. If companies want to grow and advance and export, they by and large look to recruit graduates to do that. So it's both personally worthwhile and it transforms your lifetime earnings potential.
But people can, I think, you know, young students now get their heads turned by quicker ways or maybe easier ways to earn more money than maybe a university graduate. So, you know, look at the tech billionaires or the influencers. Do you get questions like that when you go in and talk at schools?
Yeah,
I don't need university to do that, do I?
But actually, what's striking, and it's a very important reason, though in some ways a sad one, is that the non-graduate routes into jobs and decent earnings are the ones that are shrinking. And increasingly, the university is the route. And even those tech entrepreneurs, they've almost all started at university and probably had their ideas at university. Facebook was originally a Harvard product. I don't think we'd have beautiful Apple script if Steve Jobs hadn't, even after he dropped out, gone back to do that calligraphy course at Reed College. So yeah, I think that even the billionaire movers and shakers by and large had the advantage of a university education, because you'd expect that. I mean, it's an extra 3 years education. We wouldn't be sitting around here now saying kids should surely leave school at 14. Why on earth should they stay on to 16, 17 or 18? We know those extra years are good for them. Similarly, 3 extra years at university, you learn more, your mind develops, you have a greater understanding of the world. It enriches your life and makes you more employable.
It's a very good point. It's a good point to make, actually, that early days of university was the spur for many of these people who talk about dropping out of universities. But you do make a very good point that perhaps it was, I don't know, a breeding ground for ideas, because at the very least, that's what university offers. And of course, it does offer so much more. You, Ben, are offering it here now. University of Birmingham setting up. You've been here a week.
Yes.
It's very early to ask this, I guess, but how's it it gone in the 7 days?
Well, bear in mind that there's been 2 years of planning to get to this point. So, it's great to be in country now, putting all of the things in place that we need to in order to welcome our first students through the door in September of 2018 across our first set of programs.
So what are you going to be offering to students?
We'll be offering five main subject areas in the first instance. So we'll be offering computer science, business, economics, postgraduate certificates in teacher education, and the final one is computer science.
Okay. How do you what's the appeal of studying with you here rather than, say, a student who wants to come and study in Birmingham?
Well, students choose university for all sorts of reasons, and they also choose where it is that they want to study for all sorts of reasons. The university's purpose for being here is to grow and expand its influence in providing its quality education in a different region of the world. But so there will be students who will be resident in UAE currently, who will find a quality UK British education attractive. But we also think that students will come from across the wider region, so India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, the Gulf wider region, and also North Africa is probably a key market for us as well. And currently, you know, HE in UAE is expanding. I think here in Dubai, over 40%+ rise in the last 5 or 6 years. And the vast majority of that are students who are coming to move into UAE to take up the option of study.
It's an ever-increasing pie, I suppose. It is an enormous sector. This is, by some benchmarks, the largest education region on earth. That's probably true. That's obviously how University of Birmingham use it. There is an opportunity here. How do you view this region, David? I know you've been here for not very long, but how do you, looking into the UAE and the MENA region, for example, how do you see things?
Yes, well, I came here as a minister originally, promoting educational and research links with the Gulf. So this is, I've probably been here 5 or 6 times now. I think there's a strategy which is above all what you see here in Dubai and you see in Malaysia. There are a lot of Muslim parents who want their kids to go to university within the Muslim world in the broadest sense.
Right.
And it's Dubai and Malaysia that are the two countries that have really gone for a strategy of promoting higher education with that kind of access in mind. And I think both of them are thriving on it. And they've both also been very enlightened in recognizing that to deliver a high quality education, they should be attracting the prestigious names from the West. And we've already got British universities here, like Heriot Watt is already based here. And I think it's great that the University of Birmingham is also setting up here. So they've created an environment where lots of universities want to set up and lots of students want to come and study here. And I think that's one of the reasons for the paciness, for the dynamism of Dubai as an environment. If all those universities weren't here, people would be surprised at the effect it had in diminishing the cultural life, reducing the vitality of the area.
Two guests today, Lord Willetts, David, as we're addressing him, former Conservative Minister, Higher Education and Universities Minister in the UK. His book, A University Education, is now out. He's in the UAE for a couple of days. On to Malaysia next. We're here for another half an hour. Ben Bailey's the Director of Campus Operations at the University of Birmingham here in Dubai. The importance of pursuing higher education, our topic on Drive Live Talks Education this afternoon, along with how universities have evolved over the decades. We'll get into that shortly. Lord Willetts, former Conservative Minister, Higher Education and Universities Minister in the UK, is here with us, along with his new book. And Ben Bailey is the Director of Campus Operations at the University of Birmingham here in Dubai.
Drive Live Talks Education.
Yeah, Ben, I was just wondering if you could tell us the kind of differences you see between what students are looking for when they consider University of Birmingham in the UK and going from here to there, and what they might be looking for when they choose Birmingham and stay here in the UAE.
Well, I think that there are some commonality to what students are looking for. So invariably, students are looking for the degree and the quality of the institution first, in line with their projected academic achievement. In the UK, where then city becomes a significant factor that drives some of the decision making, for example, that may or may not be such a significant factor here from some of the things that we're hearing as students are talking to us about starting in September. And actually, employment, a degree which is a British degree, which is seen as coming directly from a good quality British institution, has been a significant question that we've been asked. And actually, there is a parental influence, I think, that we're seeing here in many of the conversations that we're having about parents really thinking about what might be in the best interests of their children.
Sorry, I was just going to ask David if that matched up with what he heard when he went to Jumeirah College.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Tim. Great minds.
Yeah, and all that.
Did it match up with what the students were asking you at JC today?
Yes, and I mean, Jumeirah College is a very academic institution, of course, and a lot of those students are thinking of going to university. A lot of them, indeed, will be looking to go to university in the UK or possibly the US. And I thought they were a really lively, bright bunch. They were, some of them had even got the politics bug and were wondering about whether they should.
That must have been scary for you.
I know. And I did politics, philosophy and economics at Oxford, which I greatly enjoyed. In a way, I've been doing politics, philosophy and economics ever since. And so I would say that if you do want to go and study abroad, they should also consider that option. And the University of Birmingham is a great place to study. Oxford is a fantastic place. And that, of course, boosts British education in lots of ways, because one thing some colleges and schools do here is you do the English school exams, you do the GCSEs, you do the A levels. That's what Oxford AQA and others do. So we find there's a market for English exams in schooling in order to have the qualifications that suit you very well for then applying to university in the UK. So it all hangs together. And the fact is, around the world, British education does have a very high reputation, and there are a lot of people who want to buy into it. Schooling, exams, the textbooks, the educational experience at university, it's a fantastic offer.
There's a long history there, isn't there? I'm intrigued by the questions that you had from the students. I'm intrigued by the politics expressed by the students as well. I mean, I guess we, perhaps with a president such as President Trump, we maybe talk politics more than we did. There's maybe more to comment on, whichever side of the fence you are.
Did they quiz you on Brexit, David?
I did get asked about Brexit.
Did you really? Yeah.
I voted Remain, and I think it's... I think it's going to be a blow for Britain, Brexit. I'm not a supporter of Brexit. On the other hand, it makes it even more important in Britain that we link up to international partners. When I first came here as a minister, I was trying to promote research links with the UAE, which has got some excellent universities of its own, we should remember. And I've been to Al Ain University, for example, which is really strong in a lot of technical subjects. So I think Britain post-Brexit needs to work even harder at links to places like the Gulf. That's what we've got to do.
Let me ask you, Ben, about research. It's something that obviously universities are renowned for. They're renowned here as being institutions, educational institutions, more than research institutions. That's clearly a direction, I guess, that the University of Birmingham would like to move in.
Absolutely. I mean, in UK terms, we'd describe Birmingham as being a research-intensive university, one of the leading Russell Group universities where research intensity is significant. And our aim is to build what we would call a full ecosystem of a university here in Dubai over the long term of our ambition. We're not here for the short term, and we're not here just for education.
When you say long term, what's long term?
Well, so for example, at the moment, we're planning to be at an academic city for 2 years in a small building that we've refurbished, but we are at the same time negotiating the building of a full-scale campus, which will be open by September of 2020, which will accommodate 4,500 students. The initial lease for that is a period of around 30 years. So when we intend to grow our influence in the region if we can, and research is a significantly important part of that. That is very much in line with UAE's ambition about diversifying its knowledge economy and supporting the growth and delivery of the kind of talent out of universities that will help to continue with that journey. In 10 years' time, research takes a lot longer to build, but in 10 years' time, we would hope to have some thriving research programs here with partners in the region and beyond.
I very much agree with that. And this is another point about the role of the university. If you look to the future of an economy like UAE, the kind of research that happens in universities is crucial. And that's where there are great opportunities to links to the UK. We're very strong in genetics. If you really want to understand the bits of the plant gene that enables it to survive in an arid environment, in a desert, and then perhaps take that slice of gene and put it into wheat so that wheat will also survive in these environments, British researchers working with UAE can do it. Because of manpower pressures, a lot of interest here in robotics. And British, one of the reasons why Heriot Watt is here, Heriot Watt is strong in robotics. We can work with UAE on using on design of autonomous planes. We're also, there's diabetes is an issue here. Research into diabetes, British researchers can work with UAE researchers. So there's a lot of ways in which universities can contribute to the life of the UAE, going beyond even simply educating the students here.
But is that one of the big challenges, Ben, developing that research infrastructure? Because as you said, that can take quite a while. How do you convince the best professors that they want to conduct their research here? How do you make sure there's people that are good enough to work with them here? That must be one of the hardest transitions to make, if you like, to convince people to develop projects that can and should be hosted here rather than happening elsewhere and feeding the knowledge in here.
Sure. So part of that is that the early teaching base for us will be active researchers. That is the University of Birmingham. All of our academic community are leading in their field. And so we're bringing an established research base by employing those people to pursue our education mission. Most often then, we're reaching out to form those partnerships, which will bring together a critical mass of minds working on particular challenges, and also seeking the funding opportunities that go with research. You know, in the UK there is a significant government infrastructure providing research funding in a strategic and targeted way to support particularly important work, or tackling the global challenges that that exist, and increasingly money is going towards those global challenges around sustainability and the environment and so on. So they are also incredibly important agendas here in the Gulf, and so we'd hope to utilise our research capital in order to be able to build those partnerships, bring funding perhaps even to the region in order to stimulate research activity here.
And when you're looking to how you keep young people in the Gulf and how you motivate them to be committed to this area, the sense that they can go to universities where they'll be doing really exciting, cutting-edge research is really important. That's why the space agenda, I think, is a great initiative. They know if young people in the Gulf, if they feel that I belong to a nation which is aiming to get out to the moon and beyond, and we're going to be needing to master the sciences and technologies to do that, that's the right kind of ambition for young people to feel good about their country. And I think especially when you come from Britain to a place like the UAE, it is just a reminder of how important universities are when countries have great aspirations for growing out into the future. And that's why, you know, from Oxford as well, there's a real desire for a partnership.
And a good example of that in a research intensive like ours, you know, recent discovery of gravitational waves. Two Birmingham academics on the team who were part of that discovery. A fantastic achievement. 11 Nobel Prize winners over the years for the University of Birmingham. Fantastic pedigree in research, and that's the kind of pedigree that we think we're going to be bringing to Dubai with that longer term ambition, because that's what it takes.
We have two guests with us on Drive Live Talks Education. Ben Bailey there from the University of Birmingham, and Lord Willetts is with us talking about the importance of pursuing higher education, how universities are evolving, how universities are adapting, certainly over the short to medium term. How important is a master's degree nowadays? Rasha is asking. Also, Mohammed texts in, hi, I already have an MSc in accounting and finance, have been recently exploring an MBA. What do you recommend? Is it worth doing it? We're going to answer those questions next.
Drive Live Talks Education.
Two guests with us in the studio, Lord Willetts and Ben Bailey. We're talking education, higher education specifically, of course, today, how universities are evolving. Taking questions, if you have a question, you can get in touch with us on the usual numbers, 4001 via the free app or 423 1010. Couple of questions that we will put to our guests. Rasha is asking, how important is a master's degree nowadays? Put aside the University of Birmingham for a moment, Ben. How important is a master's?
It's about what's right for the student, but ultimately I would always encourage somebody to continue learning for life, and whether it's carrying on from an undergraduate program or returning, achieving the greatest degree of level of qualification that you could and was right for you, in line with your both personal ambition and your professional ambition as well. And of course, we're sitting in the UAE, which I think is 15th in the league table across the world for workforce with a tertiary qualification. And so there's a very good competitive reason to pursue that postgraduate qualification in order to put yourself in a very good position in a marketplace like this.
David, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I completely agree. We are talking, university education is is just education. So by and large, if people say, should I get more education? My answer is normally, yes, it's a good thing. And especially in the modern world, because we don't know what jobs are going to be in 10 years or 20 years, but we can be pretty sure they're going to be more intellectually demanding, requiring deeper skills than at the present. So it's a way of investing in your own future.
It's a question of, I suppose in some ways, Rasha, it's a question of validation. Is it worth doing? Should I do it? Well, of course you should do it if you can do it, is really the answer. It's a very personal question. Mohammed texted in, Claire.
Yeah, I'd say the answer is pretty much the same for him. He says he already has an MSc in accounting and finance and wondering whether he should now move on to do an MBA. I guess it's the same kind of answer, Ben.
It is. I suppose the key issue is what value does he perceive that that's going to add? And what is it that he's missing in terms of so there's knowledge, and then there are the skills and the aptitudes that are acquired by, you know, engaging in a university education, as Lord Willetts has identified. And so if he perceives that there's a gap, and that gap's going to be filled by an MBA and a knowledge input, I would hope that the MSc has prepared him to be a lifelong learner with those critical inquiry skills that are going to see him be fairly adaptable in the marketplace.
That's right, I think so. David, what would you say to somebody who said, well, look, university is not for everybody, and I don't think it's for my child. Is that something you agree with?
They're not for everyone, but they're for more and more people. I mean, in Britain, we've now gone through 50% of young people going to university. In Korea, they're over 70% of people going to university. And sometimes people have a picture of university as a specifically narrow academic education, and of course that's what you can get at our leading research universities like Birmingham or Oxford, but there are many other types of universities. A lot of vocational and technical education you now get at university. If you want to work in the automotive sector, you'll probably find, if not here, back in Britain, an automotive engineering course at a university like, say, Coventry, which is very closely linked to Jaguar Land Rover. So there's, if you want to be a nurse in Britain, you need an educational qualification to university, and that's because nursing is more complicated than it was, the amount of kit you're using, the range of drugs you might be delivering. So there's more and more types of university. And for most careers, getting some form of university education, even a vocational or technical one, will be really helpful.
We've only briefly alluded to technology, which is obviously the age that we're in. But let's look a little bit more broadly at trends affecting universities around the world. Students go everywhere these days. It's hop on a plane and you can be somewhere in a couple of hours. We live in a globalized age. Technology is everywhere. I've got Google at my fingertips. You may not know, listening to this program, that's the case, but simply put, things are changing, aren't they, Ben?
They are. And of course, information is more available than ever before. And one of the questions that is often asked about a university education, is it worth it? Because I can find everything I need via my friend on the web.
Sure.
However, the information is the one part, the how to use that information, the skills that you need to navigate it and to understand what it is that you think about it, back to that kind of level of critical inquiry. Is everything on the web that's published fact? So how do you use your skills, your ability to navigate the sheer mass of information which is available? And that's that broader university education, which says that actually you're equipped to be able to navigate the modern context. You said earlier that we're training people for jobs which don't yet exist, and those underpinning skills become ever more important to be able to adapt. When my father, his father, were training, they would have had one career for life. Now people will have 5, 10, possibly even 20 different jobs within their life going into the future. And how do you adapt to that kind of pace of development? And that's where those skills from a university education are critical.
I think in terms of these trends, though, I mean, there are now about 200 million university students around the world. Of those, the figures in my book suggest there's about 4 million who are studying abroad. That is actually quite a low percentage. So that's about 2%. That tells me that globalization has not really hit higher education yet. Mm. That's why Dubai has got a smart strategy. I suspect if you look at most other businesses and sectors that people listening to this program are in, there's more than 2% international. So I think higher education is at the early stages of globalization. And then secondly, the other big trend, digital technologies. A hell of a lot of higher education is still delivered by some guy, usually is a guy, standing in front of a class and lecturing. That is how it was done in the Middle Ages. I think the digital revolution has still not really reached higher education. I think that we're not yet smart at using data from online education to understand better how people are learning. How can we redesign their education? So I think one of the reasons why universities are so exciting at the moment is the two big trends of globalization and digitization are only just starting in university, and they're going to be transformed in the next 20 years. Mm.
What are they going to look like in 20 years then, David?
Well,
yeah.
Well, there's going to be a lot more. There's going to be a lot more mixing of people from different countries. There's going to be a lot more courses where you can complete the course by a bit like a kind of the airline alliance model. You'll do a year in one country, a second year in a different country, but as part of an integrated course. So at the end of 3 years, you've got a single degree, but you've studied in three continents. I think that'd be a really attractive offer, and there's very few of those at the moment. I think you'll also see more blended learning where people, the online engagement with the subject is properly analyzed every keystroke. When did the students go off track? When did they slow up? Why did answering that question take them 3 seconds longer than the other questions? What do we know therefore about how they're learning? So using big data to understand better how people are learning and interactive courses. So I think it will change a lot, and I'm an optimist. I think these are changes that'll make it better.
So I think they are as well. I only heard the phrase data is the new oil a couple of months ago, but clearly that's the case.
Yeah, so universities, and this is one of the other things I bring out in the book, one of the assets universities have is the data about their students. And in the battle for how you use data, ownership of the data is a crucial advantage. So a university that harvests the data about how its own students are learning will be in a very powerful position.
How's the University of Birmingham at harvesting data, Ben?
It's pretty good at harvesting data.
good answer.
using it as effectively as we can, that's ongoing. But, you know, some of our academics lead in machine learning and trying to understand how we use data more effectively from our computer science program. Well, one of the key challenges, I think, is how you marry that environment that David's just described then with all of the personal and social benefits of a university education, many of which come by coming together with other learners and exploring ideas. And that is fantastic in a digital sense. So we have students studying all over the world who rarely, if ever, come to a university campus. They study entirely online. However, then there's that community, which for many, and particularly those at the kind of school leaving age, 18, 19, who are looking for that broader personal and social development. And I know that's been key to one or two of the conversations I've been having here in the UAE with parents who are looking for that to happen in an environment that the parent feels is okay for their child.
And is appropriate,
yeah,
culturally appropriate as well. Final question for you, no name on this, and I guess really this is you, Ben. Will a degree from a UAE campus be equally respected if it's, is it the same as a UK campus?
So one of the key drivers in the questions I've been asked is what will it say on my degree certificate? Yeah. And from the University of Birmingham, it will say University of Birmingham. It will not say University of Birmingham Dubai, which has been a concern.
All right, then. That's Drive Live Talks Education today. As ever, just not enough time. Lord Willetts, David, has been here, former Conservative Minister, Higher Education and Universities Minister in the UK. His book, A University Education, is out, which I now have to go and start, at least. good to have had you here, David. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Published by Oxford University Press.
We'll allow you the plug. Mm. And Ben Bailey has been here from the University of Birmingham. He's the Director of Campus Operations. Hopefully your second week will be as fast-paced as your first week, and onwards we go.
Thank you very much. Thanks
good
a lot.
To have you here.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.